Today's chapter is Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Here in Luke 15, Jesus tells three famous parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. I think simply reading through this chapter, the theme of God's heart for the lost immediately jumps out at us. And this picture of God is clear, and we may be super blessed already. Nevertheless, let's reflect a bit more on this together and allow God to work in our hearts through his word. Let's look at the audience first. Luke points out in verses 1 and 2 that tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes grumble that Jesus would eat with these people who were obviously sinners. In those days, tax collectors were seen as betrayers to the Jewish people, since they collected taxes for the Romans. And you may remember that earlier in Luke, John the Baptist tells them to repent by not collecting more than they are required to. So we can assume that it was not uncommon for them to do so. Jesus ate with these tax collectors, prostitutes, and so on. The Pharisees and scribes, who did their best to follow the Jewish law, were on the opposite side of the spectrum, to the point where their self-righteousness would get in their way of truly doing God's will. To this audience of two groups, the sinners and the Pharisees, Jesus gives these three parables. Both sides can immerse themselves right away into the first story. After all, who hasn't ever lost something and felt great joy when you found it again? The punchline of the parable is, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. One sinner who repents, who turns from his ways of self-indulgence or the ways of the world, and turns to God, will cause a greater joy in heaven than the 99 who don't need repentance. Now, this is a very meta story, since the Pharisees are listening, probably with their arms crossed, thinking they are righteous, that they don't need to repent. Nonetheless, Jesus continues to speak about the joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents. In the second parable, the woman who finds the lost coin, similar to the shepherd who has found the lost sheep, also calls her friends and neighbors to celebrate with her. And Jesus says a similar message. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the third parable, the parable of the prodigal son, the stakes get higher again to a son who loses his way from the father. This time, Jesus does not say that there is joy over one sinner who repents. The party that is thrown for the prodigal son when he returns in the story is what displays the amazing heart of our Heavenly Father. The younger son repented when he came to his senses and realized, what am I doing? I need to go back to my father. But he probably could not have pictured such a reception from his father. This could be a parable on its own with just the younger son and the father. However, the older son is in the story as well. And it's clear that he does not know or appreciate the father's heart for him either. He is around the house, but he's not happy at all when his younger brother returns. Again, the Pharisees and scribes would probably easily identify themselves with the older son, working hard, trying to earn their position with the father. Jesus ends the story with the father entreating the older son to himself also. And for those in the Pharisees' camp, if they would just soften their hearts a little bit, the opportunity is right there for them to accept this invitation by Jesus to turn from their own ways and turn to God. This is how amazing God is. He loves the sinner who outrightly denies him and then changes his mind. And he also loves the sinner who denies him on the inside and is having a hard time admitting he needs forgiveness. Remember, there is much joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Today, if we identify more with the younger son, let's return to the Father, knowing that he accepts us and he lavishes his love upon us. He celebrates our return to him. Or if we identify more with the older son, let's repent of any pride and simply accept the Father's unconditional love for us, to accept his invitation to be close with him and celebrate with him. Whether we identify with the younger son or older son or both at this time, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and repent, to turn to him to enter into his joy. And as we do so, let's extend his grace and forgiveness to others as well. If we encounter modern day younger sons or modern day older sons, let's turn away from judgment, but realize I'm just like that person, and that person can also experience the joy of knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage and your message to both the tax collectors and prostitutes and the Pharisees and scribes. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know, Lord, how much we need you, and to know just your heart more, God, the amazing heart of the Father. So Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, whoever we feel like we are in the story today. I pray that you would work in us and draw us close to you. Lord, we thank you for your tremendous love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.